Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we'll continue our study of Iyov, focusing on the fourth chapter, in which the first series of dialogues begins with a two-chapter discourse presented by Eliphaz. Eliphaz opens his response to Iyov's despairing outburst with hesitation, breaking a seven-day period of silent mourning in which he and the two other friends displayed compassion for Iyov's pain. He begins with a humble apologia. Do I dare respond? Are you open to hear? But how can I remain silent? Iyov's words have shaken the foundations of their faith, and Eliphaz cannot remain quiet, lest that makes him complicit. Moreover, he points out that Iyov's words contradict their shared, long-held beliefs, and are inconsistent with his beloved personality, which explains why these three friends came from afar to commiserate. He reminds Iyov, Hine yisalta rabim ve'yadayim rafot techazek. Koshel yekimun milecha, ubirkaim korot te'ametz. Surely you have instructed many, and have strengthened their feeble hands. Your words have steadied those who stumbled. You have braced the knees that were buckling. Eliphaz confirms what we've been told, namely that Iyov was a good friend and a moral exemplar to many, and he lent both guidance and emotional support to the weak. But Eliphaz's admiration quickly gives way to dismay. He gently admonishes Iyov, You were always so steadfast in providing encouragement and instruction, and now that troubles have hit you, you are shaken and overwhelmed? And he says, But now trouble has come upon you, and you are weary. It strikes you, and you are dismayed. And then he reverts to his humble stance and explains that he has no innovative wisdom. He will merely reiterate what Iyov himself had said in the past to suffering and depressed people. He tells Iyov, If you are a God-fearing person, you should be more confident and hopeful, knowing that you can rely on your moral and righteous behavior. But in these sweet words is a hidden sting. If you have despaired and lost hope, apparently your faith was less than pure. Halo yiratcha kisletecha, tikvatcha vetom drachecha. Our commentaries diverge in interpreting this, the sixth verse. According to Rashi, this verse should be translated as, Your fear is evidence of your foolishness, as is your hope and the integrity of your ways. Malbim concurs and elaborates, Your fear of God was actually fear of punishment, and your morality and wholesome lifestyle were based on expectation of reward. In other words, you've not been a genuine servant of God. In contrast, Ibn Ezra and Mitzudot interpret this verse as, Is your reverence not your confidence, and the uprightness of your ways your hope? They suggest that Eliphaz is encouraging Iyov to rely on his own integrity, an unbroken record of moral behavior, trusting that good will finally prevail and his suffering will prove to be temporary. The problem with this latter interpretation is that it implies that the death of Iyov's children must have been deserved, and that they were not as virtuous as their father, as is clearly stated in the following verses. Zechona, mihu naki avad, ve'efo yisharim nichradu. כאשר ראיתי חורשי אבן וזורי עמל יקצרוהו. מנשמת אלוקה יובדו ומרוח אפו יכלו. Consider now, I plead. Who, being innocent, has ever perished? Or where have the upright been destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble reap the same. Eliphaz claims that the evidence, kasher ra'iti, proves that people sow what they reap. Rashi suggests that the evidence cited is from stories in the Torah. Eliphaz is pointing out to the eventual fate of Dor HaMabul, who were wiped out by Hashem's intervention. Sforno suggests that Eliphaz is referring to the story of Sodom, whose evil ways sowed their own destruction. Malbim explains Eliphaz's worldview. Though a person cannot control the genetics with which he was endowed and the environment into which he was born, in the final analysis, man is a free agent in making moral choices. Those choices are not controlled by the stars, nor by his biology. Man was born to strive and toil, and his sincere efforts will yield fruits. Undoubtedly, sometimes a person succeeds with little work, but this success cannot be sustained and will soon dissipate. Similarly, a person's efforts may not yield immediate results, but will ultimately be rewarded. The correlation between good works and reward is not always evident in the short run, but a review of history will indicate that evil is ultimately punished and goodness is ultimately rewarded. At the same time, Eliphaz is cognizant that sometimes calamity befalls a good person. He insists, however, that such troubles come to save the virtuous individual from an even more dangerous fate. We've all heard Hashgacha Pratit stories, such as the person who was frustrated because he missed his flight, only to later learn that the plane he had missed crashed, killing all aboard. Are we then to surmise that all who died in the plane crash were guilty and did not deserve to be saved? Perhaps in recognition of the flaws in his explanations about why bad things happen to good people, Eliphaz moves to the second half of this chapter. With a description of an ethereal vision he experienced in a dreamlike trance. Bisi'ipim mechezyonot laila, binfol tardema al anashim. Pachat kra'ani, ure'ada verov atzmotai hifrid, veruach al panai yachalof, tesamer se'arat psari. As he was falling into a deep sleep, he was overcome by terror and trembling as a wind passed over his face and his hair stood on end. And then a voice came from a figure he could not identify and challenged the human being's capacity to make sense of this world, arrogantly believing that mere mortals can make judgment about God's actions. The visage appeared. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form loomed before my eyes, and I heard a whispering voice. Ha'enosh mi'eloka yitzdak, ime'osehu yitar gavil. Can a mortal be more righteous than God, or a man be more pure than his maker? Even those who seem pious servants can die suddenly or suffer inexplicable tragedy. Even the angels are not privy to God's plans and purposes. How much more vulnerable are those who dwell in clay houses? Af shochnei batei chomer, asher be'afar yesodam, yedak'um lifnei ash. מבוקר לערב יוקטו, מבלי מסים, לנצח יובדו. Human beings are trapped in bodies formed from the earth, which will ultimately be returned to the earth to decompose and be consumed by the worms. From morning to evening, suddenly, before they know what hit them, they are cut down and lost forever. Such is the fate of all human beings, whose lives are short and often brutal, and they come and go with little or no understanding. Mitzudat David explains the crux of this message. The human being has limited intelligence and perception, and his intellect is bound by a weak body, doomed to die before he can ever attain the knowledge or understanding of why and when Hashem intervenes in history. Mere mortals inevitably perish, having attained little or no wisdom or comprehension of divine justice. Nevertheless, the human being strives painfully and relentlessly to understand the inscrutable. And so Eliphaz will continue in the next chapter. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.